ॐ ज्ञानचमनं दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मुखं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायम् ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् कौपातुभ्यश्च कृपाशुन्दुवैभ्यतीकानम् पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So greetings from Princeton, New Jersey. It's actually the first time this year that I was able to visit my good friend, Stupweta, Professor Edwin Bryant. You may know him from his excellent commentary on the Yoga Sutras. And previously, this is one of my main spiritual hangouts. I didn't have a place in the New York City. Now I have a room in the Bhakti Center. I'm so engaged there. And he's kind of dharmic, and he has a father in his 90s in the Isle of Wight, who's a former British diplomat. So whenever he's off from school, he goes there to, you know, take care of his father. He feels it's his duty. So it's only, you know, actually in the beginning of September that I get to spend some time with him. And he's a really wonderful Vaishnav, such a host, such a good cook. So I came here from New York, and then we took dinner, and he has another visitor who is a peace pilgrim. It's just a sannyasi who's just walking all over the country and depending on God. As was done by this lady called the Peace Pilgrim, who walked over 25,000 miles. And we're talking about that, how nice it is, traditional sannyasi, that would be part of their life, called Parivrajakacharya. This four orders of sannyas, and the third order is you wander, Parivrajaka, you wander around. And by doing that, you learn dependence on God. God is providing everything. And sometimes he does it through our own effort, but even when our own effort is not there, he still supplies. So sometimes when we're in one place, and this is the traditional culture, you know, we're endeavoring to maintain and protect ourselves, so we get the idea that we're the controllers and that things are manifest by our own power. And it reduces our dependence on God. So the traditional sannyasi would wander experiencing God's creation, just like Narada Muni did after his mother died. And they would see when there's protection, somehow God would protect them. And when they're thirsty, water would be there, food. So, and you really actually see that our shelter, our maintainer is actually God. For Vaishnava sannyasi, it develops a certain sense of love. So it's nice to see he's in another tradition, Shivananda. But it's nice to see that that kind of dependence on God and detachment. Anyway, he's a wonderful host, Advaita. So we're studying Jiva Dharma, and we're part of the story where the residents of Godrum go to visit some other Vaishnavas, and some other Vaishnavas come, and it's a Vaishnav society. And a Vaishnav society has the common interest of God and the common love of God, and therefore it's based on the glorification of God. and the discussion of those subjects. And they're discussing Gaur Lila, the pastimes of Chaitanya, and its relationship with Krishna Lila. And there's such a correlation. We've discussed that many times, that Gaur Lila is Krishna Lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, just the form is different, but the essence, the mood, the love, the potency of particular places, it's all there. Anyway, they discuss it. And then one younger Vaishnav wants to know what Vaishnav behavior is. And in the assembly, they decide that the disciple of Paramahamsa Babaji, Vaishnav Babaji, will answer the question. And he's a great scholar. So generally, when people are scholars, if they speak on a particular subject, they put it in context so that you can understand it more clearly. If you want to understand something clearly, you have to understand the context in which it is discussed or spoken. So he talks about different types of people. Some look away from God, some look towards God. Basically, looking towards God, the principle of looking towards God is really searching for the interest above your own. Really. Basic spiritual principle is that we're part of something greater than ourselves that we're meant to serve. And therefore, the desire of the whole is the desire of the part. And it supersedes that. So that's a spiritual person. He's looking for some higher truth in the team or community or cosmos that one is part of. So, and people who turn towards Krishna, and generally the first thing they're turning to is authority, truth, something not created by themselves that rules themselves. So one young person, he asks, what is Vaishnava behavior? I said that, and he describes moral principles, but moral principles alone do not constitute Vaishnava behavior, because someone who doesn't believe in God can also be moral, and someone who believes in God in a different way than you can also be moral. I'll take back that last sentence. So, he discusses, that's nice, that one is moral, but Vaishnava behavior is something different. And Vaishnava Das explains, and as you asked about Vaishnava behavior, and he described that Vaishnav is one who has faith that is serving God for the pleasure of God. That's what the teachings of the Shastras, the Bhakti Shastras, the teachings are that your highest duty is to serve God with love, without any motive. And that's a really elevated point in your spiritual existence. We've been wandering from universe to universe to universe until we actually come to this point by the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna. And somehow or other, their conviction, their example, their words instills within your heart the experience of serving God, the sublimity of serving God, and the conviction to do so. In fact, one of the ways in which I read a book, sociology book of early Christianity spread, is that Christ had put such a deep, and the apostles, such a deep conviction and experience of love of God in the hearts of their disciples, that they would even serve God at the risk of their lives. But anyway, this conception of the priority, the obligation, the attraction for serving God for itself out of love, to please God, to without any, sincerely, which means to no other reason than the pleasure of God, that's an exalted thing. And there are different categories of doing so. See, sadhana bhakti means, devotional service and practice means, that you have an objective of attaining love of Godhead. And there's the practice is to engage your senses in a particular way to do that, by basically somehow engaging your senses in the remembrance of God, Krishna. The sadhana means the utilization of the senses to attain bhava. And there's two types of practices, vaidhi and raganuga. Raganuga is when that engagement of the senses is done out of a natural attraction in your heart to please Krishna. And vaidhi is when there's a natural understanding in your mind to serve Krishna. It's basically vaidhi bhakti means regulated devotional service, that the inspiration for that service is the teachings of the Shastra. And the Kanishtha Adhikari, he has that conviction to serve God based on the teachings of the Shastra, but he doesn't know the Shastra very well. And his faith is also not so strong. And sometimes he can be swayed by other arguments. And then Madhyamadhikari is when your faith increases and your Shastric knowledge is not fully mature. And the Uttama Adhikari, the topmost qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, is when you know the Shastra and have faith in the Shastra. So Kanishtha Adhikari, it's not such a, it's a beginning, but it's a beginning of a very exalted thing. And people can be great gyanis, great professors, but they may not yet have come to Kanishtha Adhikari because they don't have the realization yet that to serve God is the highest duty. Prema Pumartha Mahan, the greatest wealth is prema. The greatest duty is to move and develop yourself towards that. So when you become the Adhikari, even at the beginning to serve God, there's something that enters into your heart which gives you this idea or this conception or this experience that, yes, perfection means to please God. And it's that sense of pleasing. Perfection is when it comes to the stage of the highest, most intense, appropriate, unalloyed love. So he's answering this question, though, about Vaishnava behavior. Once you've come to the Adhikari, the qualification for devotional service, Well, anyway, no. What's the behavior of a devotee? So he describes this a Kanishtha Adhikari, who actually, a Kanishtha Bhakta. That was what they call it. Let me just see. So a Kanishtha Vaishnav. A Kanishtha Vaishnav is one who has faith in the devotees, but not the, has faith in God, faith in the deity, but not in the devotees. And once you make that separation, it's indicative of lack of faith in God, actually. So you're not yet at the standard of pure devotee or practicing uttama bhakti. You're approaching the deity for material reasons, and it generally comes down as family tradition. And so the only characteristic in the bhakti of such a person, a Kanishtha, is service of the devotee, service of the deity. With some faith, I should say, it comes in family tradition. He may have some faith to serve, but he doesn't have the characteristics of uttama bhakti, which is anya abhilashi sadhiti, free from ulterior motives, wanting to please Krishna. So the madhyam bhakta, in terms of his behavior, and we were discussing that, he worships God and the devotees, God and the topmost devotees. He makes friends with the bhaktas. He makes friends with the devotees. He shows mercy to the ignorant and neglect of those who are inimical. So what happens is the difference between a Kanishtha Vaishnav, his behavior, and a Madhyam Bhakta is this ability to discriminate based on spiritual knowledge, which is called Sambandhagyan. He begins to have spiritual knowledge, and he can make some distinctions, discriminations. It's not just that he worships the deities, but he respects the devotees. Especially he makes friends with those devotees who have, are submissive to Sri Hari's will. This is what spiritual life is. There's an interest of reality. There is a will of reality, which you want to submit yourself to, because that's who you are. You are part of reality and meant to serve reality. So you worship God, and then you make friends with the devotees who really have this desire and understanding of uttama bhakti, that they gear their life for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything is secondary to prema bhakti. It doesn't mean that other things are not important. They are important. But why are they important? Kamesyanendriya pritir labo jiveti avata. They're important. We satisfy our desires. It's important. Why? To make our mind peaceful, so that we can inquire into God and we can serve God and we can serve Krishna. See, and this is the difference between the Madhyam and the Kanishtha. The Kanishtha does not respect pure devotees. And therefore, the Kanishtha Vaishnav is not suitable for a Madhyam Vaishnav to make friends with. It's not his friend. He can be merciful to that person, but it's not his friend because he doesn't have that idea of Shuddha Bhakti. Our life should be geared to actually getting this understanding that our interest is to serve purely. Our interest is to please Krishna. And then in this dialogue, this Vaishnava Babaji is going to discuss in 3 separate years. The devotees from Kuliagram asked Lord Chaitanya, what is a Vaishnav? And he described in three kinds of Vaishnavs, that you should serve 3 types of Vaishnavs. One, from whose mouth Krishna Nam is even heard once. And that's the pure name. Or one whose sight spontaneously invokes the chanting of Sri Krishna Nam. Or one whose mouth Krishna Nam is heard constantly. So the Madhyam Bhakta makes discrimination. He worships God. And he makes friendship. The Madhyam makes friendship who with other Madhyams. And their hearts are pure. Because their heart's pure, even if they chant the name once, it's Krishna. It's glorious. And one time he said, one whose name is chanting constantly. This is the symptom of devotion. The symptom of devotion is glorification. Honestly speaking, we should be chanting constantly. We have to come to the point, not just in our deeds or meditating, but in our mind, and actually in advanced meditational techniques, when you actually still the mind and focus on a mantra, it's known by all classical meditation texts. It is known that the name can enter into the consciousness in such a way that one chants always. But we should practice that. And then, of course, what is a Vaishnava is when you see him, you feel like chanting, because that Vaishnava embodies love of Godhead. Because his whole existence is moved by the will of God, which is love. That's what love means. Love means that you follow the will of another willingly. So when you see such a person, see, he's describing this. Kanishtha Vaishnavas, they don't have these characteristics. These types of, 3 types of Vaishnavas, they're worthy of service, they're worthy of friendship. Because Madhyam Bhaktas will chant Shuddha Nam. And you serve the Vaishnavas in accordance with their respective levels of advancement. With the kind of association, conversation, the service. But as soon as one sees one who's a pure Vaishnava, which means that his objective and goal in life is simply to serve Krishna. There are people like this. They have surrendered to Guru and Krishna. And their only will is to please them. And they'll make any sacrifice to do so. So as soon as one sees such a pure Vaishnava, and this is all Vaishnava Das Babaji is explaining this, you offer him respect, you offer him a seat, you talk with him, you fulfill his needs as far as able. This is Vaishnav. If you're Madhyam Adhikari, this is how you deal with pure devotees. You welcome them, you offer them respect, you offer them a seat, you talk with them, you try to fulfill their needs as far as able. And you serve him, you never criticize him. Even if externally he's unattractive or even some disease. And basically with such a person, you really try to hone in on their inspired side, not just their natures. So that's the second characteristic. This is what makes one a pure devotee, or one practicing Uttama Bhakti. He has enough understanding and realization to make these discriminations. He worships God. He serves the devotees. And he bestows his mercy on the ignorant, Balisha. People who don't have spiritual truth, or they're bewildered, foolish, materialistic, they haven't received guidance in spiritual matter, and they have not been contaminated by Mayavad. It's not deep in their heart. Mayavad means that you see the relationship between God and matter is that God is matter. God is material. God and form are illusion. But these innocent devotees that one should show mercy to, they're not envious of devotees. But yet, because they're not educated and they haven't practiced Krishna consciousness, their mundane egoism and their attachments prevent them from developing a strong faith in Krishna. They haven't yet come to the point of Madhya. Even learned scholars are in these categories, Vaishnava Das Babaji says. If they've not attained the fruit of their study, which is develop faith in Sri Krishna. The fruit of study is to understand the form of God for you to worship. That's the fruit of study according to the Yoga Sutras too. So basically the Madhyam shows mercy to those who are bewildered, and also the Kanishtha Adhikaris who have some sense to serve God, at least in the form of the deity, but they're not yet Sharanagata. Sharanagata is surrender, to take shelter, to take full shelter of Krishna. They haven't yet come to that point, so they're on the doorway of bhakti. You don't enter bhakti without Sharanagata, without surrender, without the understanding and conception of God's shelter and maintenance. So, again, the Madhyam, he makes these descriptive distinctions. And he preaches to the Kanishthas, because the Kanishthas, the lowest devotees who just see God and the deity and don't have friendship with the devotees, they don't understand the principles of spiritual knowledge, and they haven't attained pure devotional service. And he's Balisha, he's innocent until he comes to this platform of Shuddha Bhakta. But when he becomes acquainted with the truth of Krishna consciousness, Sambandha Gyan, and he awakens Ruchi for Shuddha Harinam, by the mercy of the Bhaktas, his ignorance will be dissipated, and he will attain the statement of Madhyam. So the duty of the Madhyams is to enlighten the Kanishthas, give them some spiritual or transcendental knowledge, and raise them to the platform of Madhyam. Now I'll just read something. It is essential that a Madhyam Vaishnav should bestow his mercy upon all the above-mentioned ignorant people. He should treat them as guests and satisfy their needs as far as he's able, but that is not enough in itself. He should also act in such a way to awaken their faith and Ananya Bhakti and Ruchi for Shudanam. This is the meaning. So what is the mercy? If you're a Madhyam Arakari, if you have some transcendental knowledge, if you understand the principle of pure devotional service, so you're worshiping God, you're making friends with the devotees, and you are showing mercy to the Balisha, the ignorant. And what is that mercy? The mercy is enlightenment, affection from above. Love of above is called affection or mercy. And the main way in which we show affection to someone who's innocent is by somehow, by our example and by our teachings, give that person knowledge. So the Madhyam acts in such a way to awaken the faith in pure devotional service and the chanting of the pure name. The ignorant may be victimized by bad association, may fall down at any time because they lack expertise in the Shastra. The Madhyam Vaishnav should always protect such susceptible people from bad association. He should mercifully give them his association and gradually instruct them in spiritual matters and the glories of Shudanam. That's what a Madhyam Vaishnav does. He's an enlightening other people. A mentally unbalanced person must be under the care of a physician because he cannot cure himself. Just as one should pardon the anger of a diseased person, so one should also excuse the improper behavior of the ignorant. This attitude is known as mercy. So another factor of mercy is, what is it? You hate the sin and not the sinner. You're always compassionate, even if people make mistakes. It's Madhyam Vaishnav. The ignorant have many misconceptions, such as faith in karmakanda, occasional inclination towards jnana, worshipping the deity with ulterior motives, faith in yoga, indifference towards the association of pure Vaishnavas, attachment to Vanashram, and many other things. However, the Kanishtha Bhakta can quickly become the Madhyam Bhakta when these misconceptions are dispelled by good association, mercy, and good instructions. When such people begin to worship the deity of Bhagavan, it may be understood that they have laid the foundation of all auspiciousness. Of this there is no doubt. They do not have the defect of adhering to false doctrines. And for this reason, they have a sense of true Shraddha. These are innocent people. Their deity worship is not like the Mayavadis. Prabhupada describes it as the worship of a prostitute. Prostitute loves until she gets what she wants. So her love is motivated. So the Mayavadi doctrine, you can worship the deities, but to achieve Brahman. They do not have the defect of adhering to false texts because they have a scent of Shraddha. They have the scent. These innocent people, a scent. some flavor that serving God is the highest sublimity. The deity worship is not like the Mayavadis, who do not even have a trace of Shraddha for the deities and who are offenders at the lotus feet of Hari. That is why the words Sadaya Yate, he worships his faith, have been described in the shloka, the verse that describes Kanishtha. Mayavad philosophy teaches that Bhagavan has no form and the deity is simply an imaginary icon. Mayavadis arrange for neophytes to worship the deity, but how can they have any faith in the deity? There was a significant difference between the deity worship, their deity worship, and that of the most neophyte. So the most neophyte, as compared to the Mayavadi, you can't compare it. Because the neophyte, he believes that's God, even though he doesn't see the devotees. But the Mayavadi doesn't believe that's God, because he believes that the form of God is material. And the worship of that form is only to steady the mind so you can give it up, just like the prostitute only worships the man to get the money. And when you get the money, there's no use. There's no love. Krishna Adhikaris worship the deity with faith, knowing that Bhagavan possesses form and attributes. Mayavadis, however, believe that Bhagavan has no form or attributes, and that the deity is therefore imaginary and temporary. Neophytes are not guilty of the offense of Mayavadis, and that's why they are accepted as Prakrita Vaishnavas, materialistic devotees, even though they do not possess other Vaishnav characteristics. This is where their Vaishnavism is found. On the strength of this one quality, and by the mercy of sadhus, they will certainly be elevated. So their only qualification of the innocent, of the Kanishtha Adhikaris, is they accept the deity form as God. And Madhyam Vaishnavas, this is who they must be merciful towards. If they are, then the neophyte will purify his heart, and his chanting will go from Namabhas to Shudanam. The Madhyam Vaishnav's fourth characteristic is neglect for those who are immical. So when you develop pure devotional service, sambandhagyan, you get transcendental knowledge, you worship God, God's form, with love and faith, not for any other motive. You'll make friends with the devotees. You'll enlighten the innocent. And the fourth characteristic is upeksha. One is neglectful towards those who are inimical. So Vaishnava is explaining this. And then he says, enmity is described in three types. It's a particular attitude. It's also known as Vatsara envy. And it's the opposite of love. I'll read. Bhagavan is the only object of love, and dvesha, that means enmity, is the attitude that is directly opposite to love for him. There are five different kinds of dvesha, enmity: absence of faith in Ishvara, the belief that Ishvara is nothing more than a natural potency that brings about the results of action, the belief that Ishvara has no particular form, and the belief that the jivas are not eternally subordinate to Ishvara in the absence of mercy. Probably as far as I can go for today, which wasn't so bad considering the exhaustion, the tired, but I would like to hear from people, and even if there are any questions, I'll have some time. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Thank you, Gail.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
You were saying that in order to go from Kanishtha to Majjhima, you need good association, mercy, and good instructions. And so I was thinking that those three things sound synonymous. So is there any, like, particular distinctions that you would make there?
Say them again. Good association.
Good instructions and mercy.
Maybe a little thing. First one again is?
Association.
Okay. Yeah, the association with devotees, it's not only the instruction. You see their example.
Mm-hmm.
And then instruction is one part of their example. And you have their example. Instruction is only one part of their
association.
And instruction is not the only form of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the distinction.
Okay.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Gail, you really befriended my students from Moscow.
That was just spontaneous, instinctive something.
They're attractive people.
They're amazingly so. Amazingly so.
Yeah. Those who go to the Vyas Puja, they'll also get to meet them. They're very humble, you know, and very, very humble people. So it's nice.
Yeah. Very, very sweet. Very.
Well, you're going to be one of Champak's mothers in the area now.
Gladly. She's an angel.
Okay, well, good. You'll help look after her because her mother goes back to Moscow and she's only 18.
Yeah, I know. My God.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know how they're able to leave alone in the city. I don't know how it's possible.
Do what?
I say I don't know how they have the courage to leave her by herself. You know, a person who looks like she does. You know, I don't know. I would feel like I'm leaving a babe among wolves kind of thing.
Leaving a what?
A babe among wolves, like a little, you know, a little.
Well, anyway, her father wants to have a good education, so she'll come here. But she'll take shelter in the Bhakti Center a little bit. Okay, anybody else like to ask a question? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
we'll see you Saturday, I hope.
Yes, Maharaj.
Wonderful. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, well, for today, thank you all for listening. I was totally exhausted, but somehow kept awake. Okay, thank you all. Bunch of culpa to this.